I'd seen Mr. Tanaka in our village many times before. He lived in a much larger town nearby, but came every day, for his family owned the Japan Coastal Seafood Company. He didn't wear peasant clothing like the fishermen, but rather a man's kimono with kimono trousers that made him look to me like the illustrations you may have seen of samurai. His skin was smooth and tight as a drum. His cheekbones were shiny hillocks, like the crisp skin of a grilled fish. I'd always found him fascinating. When I was in the street throwing a beanbag with the other children and Mr. Tanaka happened to stroll out of the seafood company, I always stopped what I was doing to watch him. I lay there on that slimy table while Mr. Tanaka examined my lip, pulling it down with his fingers and tipping my head this way and that. All at once he caught sight of my gray eyes, which were fixed on his face with such fascination, I couldn't pretend I hadn't been staring at him. He didn't give me a sneer, as if to say that I was an impudent girl, and he didn't look away, as if it made no difference where I looked or what I thought. We stared at each other for a long moment. So long, it gave me a chill even there in the muggy air of the seafood company. "I know you," he said at last. "You're old Sakamoto's little girl." Even as a child, I could tell that Mr. Tanaka saw the world around him as it really was. He never wore the dazed look of my father. To me, he seemed to see the sap bleeding from the trunks of the pine trees and the circle of brightness in the sky where the sun was smothered by clouds. He lived in the world that was visible, even if it didn't always please him to be there. I knew he noticed the trees and the mud and the children in the street, but I had no reason to believe he'd ever noticed me. Perhaps this is why, when he spoke to me, tears came stinging to my eyes. Mr. Tanaka raised me into a sitting position. I thought he was going to tell me to leave, but instead he said, "Don't swallow that blood, little girl, unless you want to make a stone in your stomach. I'd spit it onto the floor if I were you." "A girl's blood, Mr. Tanaka?" said one of the men. "Here, where we bring the fish?" Fishermen are terribly superstitious, you see. They especially don't like women to have anything to do with fishing. One man in our village, Mr. Yamamura, found his daughter playing in his boat one morning. He beat her with a stick and then washed out the boat with sake and lye so strong it bleached streaks of coloring from the wood. Even this wasn't enough. Mr. Yamamura had the Shinto priest come and bless it. All this because his daughter had done nothing more than play where the fish are caught. And here Mr. Tanaka was suggesting I spit blood onto the floor of the room where the fish were cleaned. "If you're afraid her spit might wash away some of the fish guts," said Mr. Tanaka, "take them home with you. I've got plenty more." "It isn't the fish guts, sir." "I'd say her blood will be the cleanest thing to hit this floor since you or I were born. Go ahead," Mr. Tanaka said, this time talking to me. "Spit it out,